Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see you. Good to see you. Oh, that's good. All right. I'm just wondering if Andrew said if anyone who saw the bollards, I was looking at those who didn't put their hand up, because then we don't need to vote. That if you didn't see those bollards, that means you ran into them. All right. So, but I mean they're bright yellow, so hopefully you did see them. But you know, a bit of a change, and it was sort of, in a way, a little bit funny yesterday when we started to redirect the traffic with school being out for a little while, and then finally everyone coming back, and you know, through all of that weather, all of the being off schedule already, and then we hit everyone with an immediate change. The confusion was funny because I wasn't part of it, so. But I was watching everyone sort of just look at that thing going, what do we do? It's like, turn left, you know, just go around. And but hopefully everyone figured it out tonight. We did send an email, and Brother Andrew did a wonderful diagram of how to use the new layout of things. So if you are confused about that, go see Andrew. It was his diagram, all right? That's why we did it. But tonight, let's turn our Bibles to Judges chapter 11, and was mindful that, you know, we had a little bit of time away from one another, away from just the regular time that we have with the Lord, and I want to give a little bit tonight, but not too much. I wanted to just teach some lessons on from the life of one of the judges that we look at in the book of Judges, and you'll see his name here in Judges 11, verse 1. And then we'll also jump to chapter 12 as well. And, you know, if you've ever studied through the book of Judges, you understand that the context of this time was just this generation that grew up after Joshua. And the Bible tells us that there was a generation that rose up that didn't know the Lord. And there was a time in even the nation of Israel's history where the key phrase in the book of Judges is, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you understand that as that generation that grew up with Joshua died away, and then another generation rose up, and then another one rose up that didn't know the Lord, that there would the immediate consequence of that is just confusion. And the immediate consequence of that is that there's this lawlessness in the land. And in many ways, when you read through the book of Judges, there's a spirit of this time where God had to continually prepare judges to rescue the people out of the consequences of really of their own making. And in a way, there's a bit of a picture of that in our society. You know, really, in our world today, there's a little bit of a lackadaisical attitude towards the things of God. And there are many who would just do that. They would just look at life and do that which is right in their own eyes. And yet, what we understand from Scripture is that God has a way, and God has given us a way that we ought to live. And we understand also the blessing of following God in the path that He gives us. But right through the book of Judges, it aptly named obviously because it was a time of the judges, around this time as well, you would know that Ruth and all of that story was around during this time. But right through, you look at the different judges, and it's interesting to study their lives and interesting to see just who they are and how different they all were. And how God in his choosing of these different men and even a lady, He understood the need of the time. And you know, I thought about that, how sometimes we have a stereotype in who we think God would use and who we think God would rise up to be able to meet the need of the time. But the reality is, God can use anyone, right? And God could use those that are highly unlikely and come from obscurity. And the reality as well is this, that we are given the time to serve God in our generation. And God always will have His that He'll use to stir up people. And I just began to think about, you know, even our time, even in this time that we live in. You know, many times we might think, well, what do we get to do here in our corner of the world? And yet God, I think, is calling us to just rise up and do what we're supposed to be and be what we're supposed to be. And I want to encourage you that way as we begin reading here in chapter 11, verse 1. Now, Jephthah, that's the judge we're looking at, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. And notice this, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and he went out with him. Now go to chapter 12, and we'll read in between these verses that we'll read right now and just see their story unfold. But chapter 12, and notice again verse 1, and the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? And it's interesting, again, as we read those verses, you know, I think about Jephthah. He's really the eighth judge that we read about if you read through the book of Judges. And I think it's obvious for us right from the outset that really if we were to pick someone to be a judge of a nation, it wouldn't really be someone of this background. The Bible's very, very clear in telling us of his situation that he was born into. And the Bible just simply says he was son of an harlot. He was one that even his brethren, as they noted that indiscretion by his father, was not someone that they legitimately saw as one of their brethren. They cast him out. The Bible says here that as his father's wife bare him sons and his wife's sons grew up, they thrust out Jephthah. They didn't want Jephthah around. They saw him as someone that they didn't want around. They didn't want taking part of the inheritance. And really, in the context of his life, he lived in a life that was full of lawlessness. And in a way, you could say maybe he's just a victim of just the way society was headed. He's just this bystander that just so happened to be that this was his lot in life, and that's how he was born. And really, we can almost say, well, he's just one of the statistics. He's just another guy that, well, he's the victim of the lawlessness of the day and the lawlessness that was in his father's heart. And now there's not much that this young man, Jephthah, could amount into. And to the point that he gets removed from his household and he now dwells in this strange land of Tob. And the Bible says there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. He fell even to the wrong crowd. Vain men, the empty men who had no good report, and these, that was the group that he was lumped into. He finds himself in a strange land, finds himself in a situation that in many ways wasn't even his own making. And we could just say that, well, we could just leave it there and he's just another statistic. But then the Bible continues, and it came to pass in process of time. You know, one of the amazing things that when you start to sit around and look at and observe life is that you never really know how things will end. You never really know when God is in the mix. And by the way, can I remind you tonight that God is always in the mix? That here, whilst this young man didn't seem to be anything going for him, that in the process of time, God was working. That God was doing something in Jephthah's life, doing something even in the life of those of his family that cast him out. And what we find is in verse 4, and came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And really that the Bible's describing here now another conflict that was about to happen. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, notice this, the elders of Gilead, you know who that was? That was his family. Through the process of time, went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. This very guy that they had cast out, the very guy that they didn't want to, this illegitimate son. Someone that probably, again, in our calculation is just another statistic. He gets sought out in the process of time. And something happened over that process of time for them to seek him out. And, you know, we'll cut the story short a little bit here, but we understand that he had some sort of reputation for war. Evidently, at some point, even in the situation that he finds himself in, he betters himself. He's found to be someone that was key to now his former household's victory, and now he had a reputation for war. We know later on that he keeps his vow to the Lord, even to his own hurt. We see that he was a man who, in many ways, raised his family to be submissive, because you remember the story, Jephthah says, gives a vow to the Lord, the next thing that comes across my door after this victory, I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord, and thinking that some animal would come through the door, and who was it? It was his daughter. And so in her submission to her dad's vow to the Lord, in her own hurt, she fulfills that. She goes and finds herself in isolation and bewails her virginity and knowing that she can no longer follow through with her own ambition and of her life. So in some ways, he raises his family right. And you would almost excuse Jephthah to say, I can't make much of my life because of the things that life has dealt me with. And Jephthah could have easily gone and said, you know, I'm just going to go the way that everyone else seems to expect of me and predict of me, and I'm just going to do this very thing. But what we find is Jephthah actually, in the process of time, God was working. In the process of time, we see that he was a man who, in the end, fights when others let him down. He goes ahead and wages war on the enemies of God. He shows courage. He shows great skill and great bravery. And we see that he becomes victorious in the end, and he becomes a judge. Someone that causes a revival. Someone who causes God's name to be honored again. And it's amazing that from the background that we read about Jephthah to how the story ends up, it's amazing what a turnaround that is, but it was a process of time. You know, sometimes we come across people along our way, or we might think nothing will ever amount in this person's life. Well, we might even look at that and go, well, that's a hopeless case. You know, I think in many ways, Jephthah was that way. In many ways, he was found to be that. And yet, what we learn about Jephthah is that even in the end, when he again finds himself thrust out a little bit and finds himself alone, that actually God had sought him. And God had sought to make a difference in his life. And God had sought to make a change in his life. And I want to say to you tonight that as we, you know, sometimes look at a situation as seemingly hopeless in another statistic. When God is in the mix in the process of time, we'll never know what God can actually do in that person's life. Because we have a God who isn't isn't just in the present. We have a God who's already gone before us. We already have a God who maybe even in our own estimation can surprise us in knowing the very thing that can trigger the change in a hopeless situation's life. You know, sometimes we're fearful, aren't we, to sort of pray for those that we know in our estimation from a human point of view is a stretch. Might see and we might look at the hardness of a countenance, or we might see a hardness of a heart. We might see the kind of even vindictiveness toward the things of God. And yet in the process of time, God can reach that one, because God's always seeking and God is always going after us. You know, that's the kind of gracious and merciful God we have. That he'll look at a situation like Jephthah's and actually at the end make all the difference. In the end, get through where we can't get through. In the end, resolve even the unresolvable. You know, I think about another character that probably in many people's estimations would never have made anything for the cause of Christ. And yet will probably at some point this week open to the very writings of this one. And I'm just going to talk about the Apostle Paul, who formerly in a former life was Saul of Tarsus. Saul, who in many ways was the great enemy of the church, who hailed men and women and children for being of the way. And yet what we find is God transforms and God knows how to get to him. And I'm saying that sometimes we're afraid to pray that for those that we feel is they're too far gone, when actually the very thing that we need to pray for is, Lord, take them into your hands. And Lord, in the process of time, by your grace, would you change this one? And tonight, that's it. I want to, maybe there's some that you're thinking of even now. Maybe there's some that it's been a while that you've just thought of them and prayed for them, and you've not really believed that God in the process of time can make the healing and make the change and make the difference. And yet we have a God who in all of his character and all of his nature, in all that we believe about him, his might and his power, also his grace and love, can transform anyone. Even the one that should have been a statistic can become the most significant. And we learn in the life of Jephthah that sometimes in the process of time, we learn that God is able, even when we can't see it, and even when we can't really understand how God can do it. What we do know is God can. And so in the process of time, we see that Jephthah ends up being this great military leader. In the process of time, the Bible says in chapter 11, verse 29, that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jephthah. And he becomes this judge that actually rescues the very people that rejected him, the very people that cast him out. And God, in the process of the time, uses a man that was just going to be a statistic. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't give up in what God can do for another. Don't give up in what God can do just in the process of time. All right, Pastor Phil, thanks.
All right, well, Jewel and Julie are...